WMSO Radio.
North Shore Now.
News and sports. North Shore Today. Brought to you by the Sylvan Street Grill and the Bradford Tavern. A great place to meet and a great place to eat. Hi, everyone, and welcome to North Shore Today. It's Friday. I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. A great Friday out there getting ready for the weekend. We'll look at the top sports stories and news stories in just a moment here on the program. Heather Atwood will be guesting with us, and we'll also talk with Bishop Fenwick baseball coach Kevin Canty as part of the program here. They're having a great season this year, and they have graduation at Fenwick today. And I just want to point out on our webpage today, we have a couple of postings down below. One of them is where you know you've heard all the graduation speeches over the years. Well, Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show has one with the two students from high school with the lowest GPAs speaking to their graduating class back in 1989. So you got that up there. And also Rick Methuen has a pink cruiser. That whole story is down below, and we have a photo of that pink cruiser from the Methuen police. I think it's the Methuen police. Anyway, so we got that. And Rick, later on today is Trending Now. So tell us about that program.
3 to 10 in the morning. I think it might be a little bit more conducive to getting live interviews on a Friday. And a lot lined up. Josh Arnold won't be here today, but he lined up Andrea Jones, who is the director of the North Shore Hawk program. And I'm not sure what HAWK stands for now, Bill. I know it's changed its letters, but obviously it's to help families and women who are in great need. And we'll talk to Andrea. She's new to the position, so we'll talk a little bit about who she is and what she sees her role and, you know, what HAWK does. And then I'm going to talk to Karen Hurlitz up at Shell and Lou. There's the big spring season is happening at Shell and Lou, and it's obviously a gorgeous place to go for a concert or an event, you know, in the arts. So we're going to go up and talk with Karen, actually by phone. Greg Verga is going to be on board. Greg, former city councilor, but he's also a musician, and he's starting a new program on MSO Radio, which will feature live in-studio performances of bands all over the North Shore. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't have my list in front of me, but we got plenty of other interviews coming up as well.
And you have the selectman from Danvers, right, on the intersection and other things. Yeah, yeah.
Well, yeah, that's probably the biggest news story that we want to follow up on, absolutely. Ms. Langley is on the board of selectmen. She's a selectwoman. I believe she's the chair of the board of selectmen in Danvers. And we're talking about that Route 62, 128 interchange, absolutely.
All right. And again, there were two front-page stories this week on the Salem News on that interchange, so you want to hear what she has to say about that, because that's that whole redesigned interchange. In other words, everyone's come in, spent millions of dollars to correct that problem, and now there are more accidents. And, you know, who knows why that is, and I'm sure she'll shed some light on that and what they're looking to do about that. Well, looking at our front-page news stories today and the Salem News today, the fire in Beverly, sad, sad story. This is an Ariana McNeil story, but a fire Thursday morning claimed the life of a city man. Appears to be an accident. An exact cause of the blaze has not been determined, but Clark Young, age 78, of 9 Highland Terrace, was unable to escape the building, according to a press release from the Beverly Police Department. Young was pronounced dead at the scene, police said, and was found in the hallway of the home. So that's a very tragic, sad story to start the day yesterday. So that was breaking across the day. We also, Rick, you talked about this the other day, and the Salem News does have a story on this, but Middleton Jail opening up the detox unit for women. And again, that was not available before, and you were right to bring that up. And when we talked to the sheriff, it was mentioned that they don't have that service, I believe, but thanks to the sheriff over there, Frank Cousins, that they've got that going. Kind of keep an eye on that. And Edwin Wu, I think you got this story up yesterday. Let's see here. The man was sentenced. Sylphie Lee was sentenced without parole regarding that Ipswich restaurant shooting from about 4 years ago. So those are some of the stories, Rick, making news today on the front page of the Salem News.
Yeah, a follow-up on a story that was, I think we had posted earlier too, Bill. In Gloucester, a local woman is accused of saying that she was going to blow up the USS Fort McHenry. When it was visiting Gloucester last year in conjunction with the Schooner Festival. That's right around Labor Day 2015. And Gloucester Police, according to Ray Lamont in the Gloucester Times, Gloucester Police have summoned the woman on a charge of calling in a false bomb threat. Her name hasn't been released, pending service of the court summons and her arraignment. But apparently she is 55 years old. She was charged based on a marine radio transmission that was intercepted by the Coast Guard. So apparently if you're going to make threats, you probably shouldn't do it over radio that the Coast Guard is monitoring. But anyway, we'll follow up on that. You know, a story I saw online the other day, Bill, I don't know if I saw it on Channel 5 or whatever, but there's also a follow-up in the Gloucester Times. Ray Lamont also has a story about a whale that was entangled in fishing lines off Rockport, and it was virtually helpless. Apparently, it's a 29-year-old male that, you know, the mariners have been following, scientists have been following. They've named the whale Foggy. They know this whale, apparently. And she's 29. She was entangled in fishing gear about 4 miles off the coast of Rockport. And she was freed on Wednesday after a 9-hour rescue attempt involving people from the Massachusetts Environmental Police and a Cape Cod-based marine research group. So she was freed so that she could swim. Some of the gear is still attached to her, but it was a pretty scary thing, I guess, according to the article. The whale was in dire straits, as they say, and was in danger of dying. And one more thing, Bill. Gloucester High School, looking for a new principal. They are down to 3 finalists, and one of them is, I am a former colleague of one of them. His name is James Cook. He is the English department program leader, longtime English teacher at Gloucester High School, very popular man, very well read, just got his license for administration, his principal's license, and he is one of 3 finalists. The other 2 are Deborah Holman and Elizabeth Taylor, and they are well known in their respective communities. And I believe one of them is a Beverly assistant principal. One is from Brookline High School. So Beverly assistant principal is Elizabeth Taylor, and Brookline headmaster Deborah Holman. So there are 3 finalists for the principal's position at Gloucester High School.
And that would mean the if, in fact, it say is it would be Elizabeth Taylor, Beverly would be losing 2 assistant principals because Dan Bauer is well known as and football coach at Beverly is moving over to become the principal at Marblehead High School. So that's always not a bad sign. That's a good sign that people are respected within the high school, in this case Beverly High School, and being able to move on following their work that they've been doing. So we'll see what happens. That's got to be, if they have 3 finalists, let's see, they'll be picking with someone very soon, I imagine, for that position.
Yep, it's coming up. But the key thing is that the final interviews are one-on-one. It's the superintendent with the candidate, and it's the superintendent solely who selects the principal. And editorially speaking, I have been against that since that was instituted back in the 90s. I think that's not a good thing to do, but that's the way it is.
Well, with every law, you have the good and the bad, and I think one thing is with the school committee on with that ed reform is the school committee hires and fires one person, and that would be the superintendent. On theory, that's how it's supposed to be, to try to so they're not interfering with the hiring of classroom teachers or other personnel in the school district. Not that that's always the case, but anyways, that's the way the state had designed it. I have one other story from Lynn, Rick. Gayla Colley has a story out of the Item today. A Lynn man attempted to shoot his apartment building's maintenance man on Thursday. Officers responded to a report of shots fired at 167 North Common Street. They found the victim, a 46-year-old New Hampshire man who maintains the multifamily home. The suspect, Waldemir Osio, 35, a building resident, got into a heated exchange with the victim. And then went into his apartment, retrieved a firearm, and shot at the victim once but missed. So there you go. Oh, and they had a graduation, this YES program, which is a great program involving youth and leadership at the middle school level in the city of Lynn. They had their graduation at Marshall, at the Marshall Middle School yesterday. So a couple of things going on in the city of Lynn today. Front page is there. And Rick, let's see here. I guess we got a lot of things up on the website, and we just told the folks about Trending Now, which airs today, and Anything else happening in the news?
You know, I'm just looking. What a beautiful. What would you say? Bishop Fenwick is graduating this weekend. And a gorgeous day. Is it today that Fenwick is graduating?
It is today. Yeah. So they are. Some of the private schools get done a little earlier than the public schools, which I think are still maybe a week or two away from their graduations. Yeah.
Yeah, and the college kids are home, and you know everything is in bloom. It's just beautiful. So let's hope this weather continues. And the other thing, Bill, is this is the last. I think we've got maybe 3 or 4 days, or at least one more week of the regular season for high school sports, and then we're into the state tournament already. So it has just flown by, and I urge people to check out the website, all the posts that we get, and the tweets and so on, and the interviews, because it is flying by.
Yeah, we got a lot of stuff up there, and more stuff coming up during the day today, so hang in there with us here. Heather Atwood is up, Kevin Candy is up, and we'll take a look at some sports news as well. So stay with us right here on MSO Radio North Shore Today.
Okay, it's time now for the story behind the story behind the recipe with Heather Atwood. Hi, Heather.
Hi, Rick.
Listen, I got to meet the director over at NAMA. Let me see if I get this right now. The Northwest Atlantic Marine Alliance this
Excellent.
Week with Niaz Dory, and we're going to be posting an interview with her. But, wow, was that revealing as to what's happening in the fishing industry.
Isn't she amazing? She is brilliant.
Yes.
Really brilliant.
Absolutely.
And lays it out so clearly. And I think it's an important story to be told, that's for sure.
Yep, we'll get it posted, and I have to make sure everybody listens in on this one. Okay, Heather, no pregame warm-up today, so we're going into this cold. What's the topic for today?
Well, I'm glad you talked to Niaz, because you might be a little disappointed. I can't leave fish alone. It's such an important subject. But really, my story about fish today is it's like such an uber local seasonal story that I have to talk about it.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep.
So the highlight of the day, what everybody should be thinking about cooking right now because it's so in season and it's such a New England thing, is squid.
Squid.
Now, did you know that squid is as springtime, represents springtime as much as lilacs do?
No, that's a new one for me. Oh, my God. Okay.
You know, I didn't know that either. And I'm so disappointed in myself that I didn't know that. But I think it's because there is the barrier between basically Main Street and the waterfront is just getting higher and higher. And we understand less and less of what is out in the ocean. You know, we don't see local fish anymore in our fish markets. We don't. So we have no clue what our local fishermen are catching. And apparently, longfin inshore squid are the arrival of these squid in Nantucket Sound is a gunshot in the air to the fishermen that starts the entire fishing season.
And this happens in the springtime?
It happens in late April, early May.
Okay. Now, these squid, I don't know. I don't even know what to ask. But these.
I'll keep talking.
Okay, but I just wanted to. These squid, what size are they that fishermen catch that go to the table?
They're about. They're anywhere between 12 inches long,
mm-hmm.
maybe 14 inches long, to 8 inches long.
Okay.
You know, they're about that size. They're not that big. They spend their winters on the edge of the continental shelf in deeper water. And they come into Nantucket Sound every spring to spawn. And all the other fish in the ocean chase them because they love squid. And a fisherman said to me, you know that squid tastes really good when striped bass are just, I cannot eat enough of these things. And striped bass have their choice of every fish in the sea for dinner. But they're going after it, the squid.
So that's that's the five-star recommendation, is because striped bass go after them.
Yeah, there's my Yelp.
Okay.
So right now, there are all these fishing boats, local fishing boats, like circling around, happy as they can possibly be, Nantucket Sound, and actually a little bit more on the Massachusetts coast. And the fishermen are so happy because all these fish are there and the squid are there. And if the fishermen aren't catching squid, they're catching fish whose mouths and bellies are full of squid. It's just like this great big party out on the water right now. I drove to Portsmouth, New Hampshire 2 days ago and met this lovely young fisherman, a girl named Amanda Park. She's great. And she had a cooler full of 60 pounds of squid for me that I was going to bring back to Massachusetts and divide up among my friends. Niaz was one of them. And so she fishes, and she was just, her smile was from ear to ear because she said, it's just so much fun right now that all these squid are out there. So it's, you know, this is something we don't know about. But fishermen did. They, you know, there's an expression that when the week that the leaves pop out on the trees, the squid arrive.
Hmm. Okay.
So it's a really big local deal that, you know, and yet another story that we've lost touch with.
Yeah, absolutely. I know that when I used to go out with my dad was, he had a commercial fisherman's license, a commercial lobstering license, and he did it mainly for physical rehab to go out lobstering. But I was the crew. He drove the boat. And I remember sometimes the squid, and I don't remember, it had to have been this time of year, obviously, but we would get a lot of squid in the lobster traps, but they were tiny, tiny squid, you know, and they just sort of like, they're just a mess of them sometimes. And so I've never seen the size squid that you're talking about.
Yeah, these are really, these are a good size. I mean, if you have six of these, you have a nice dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, cleaned, they come down to, they reduce in size.
Right.
But they're really great, and they're really sweet. And once you get the hang of cleaning them, it's not that big a deal. And they're just so fun to cook with because they're mild and they cook quickly. You know, the whole thing about cooking squid is either 3 minutes or 30 minutes. So really high heat, fast, or a lower heat for a long, slow braise.
Mm-hmm. Okay, well,
I like the fast braise.
All right, now my familiarization with squid at the table is because my wife is Italian, and of course it's Gloucester is with calamari. So is that what we're talking about here?
That's what we're talking about, calamari.
Okay.
So this is, if you want to go to the Gloucester House today and have calamari, this is a good day to go because it's going to be really, really fresh, tender, and sweet. Since I was on this, my newfound knowledge of squid, I had access to some really great local squid and it was so delicious. And then someone told me that, oh yeah, the local squid is so good, but the best local squid is from Point Judith, Rhode Island.
Hmm.
Because apparently the squid there feed on the blue-green algae, and they get really, really sweet. So I went to the dreaded Whole Foods, and they had squid from Point Judith, Rhode Island, in their case, but it was previously frozen. And I purchased that, and I cooked it, and it just wasn't very good.
Mm-hmm.
But that was because it was previously frozen, you know, and it wasn't, it just didn't have the freshness of the amazing squid I'd had the week before that was really local.
Hmm.
So there's a difference. You know, you can get squid all year round. You can certainly get calamari in restaurants all year round, but this is the time to have it.
All right. Now, do you have in your own recipe cookbook that you wrote, do you have recipe involving squid?
You know what? I don't. Can you believe that?
Wow.
I feel really remiss. There's not a squid recipe in my book.
No, it just means you got to keep writing, that's all.
I know. So I am going to post in about an hour a recipe that my daughter sort of helped me adapt for squid tacos. And they're really easy. They're really delicious. You know, a little corn tortilla toasted, a nice cabbage, sort of a slaw with some jalapeno in it so it has some zest. And then the squid are marinated for a little bit and some spices, you know, hot spices. You really like mild fish, like a lot of flavor. So you can do that's the fun thing about squid. You can do a lot with them, like blasts of chili powder, handfuls of black olives and garlic. You know, they really love that. So that's why the fried calamari, have you ever seen a sort of a pepperoncini sauce that goes with it? Okay. All right, enough of that. So I have this recipe for these delicious squid tacos. So, and they're a fun, they're the kind of thing that kids would eat. They'd be really happy to have them because they're, you know, it's all the fun of a taco. And it's squid is mild. It's not going to be a fishy sort of taste.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So that's my discussion for the day.
All right. Well, you've given me a lot to chew on, so to speak. Now, listen, Niaz brought up something yesterday I had forgotten about. Two things was the Cape Ann Fresh Catch, and I think it's always good to remind people about that, and the Fish Throwdown. Now, there was a Fish Throwdown a couple of weeks ago. Were you able to get to that?
I did. Yeah, I did go to that. And guess what was the mystery fish?
Let me think here. Hold on. Give me dab.
Squid.
No, I don't know.
Squid.
Oh, squid. Squid. Oh, okay. Yeah. No, okay. All right. So give me a quick thumbnail of what happened, how that was.
Oh, it was so great. It really was. There were two amazing chefs. This one guy, his name is Jose Duarte. He owns a restaurant called Taranta in the North End, which is absolutely hands down one of my favorite restaurants. Jose Duarte is Peruvian, and he does this combination of Italian and Peruvian food, so these really fresh, interesting flavors that come from Peru, you know, applied to a few pastas. He does fresh fish so beautifully. And then he was competing against his really good friend, so they were great friends, which was, made the whole thing kind of funny, Charles Draghi. He owns a restaurant called Erbalucci in kind of in the Back Bay, and it's super, super Italian. He is super Italian from northern Italy. He shops for his restaurant almost only in farmers markets. He has relationships with all kinds of fishermen all around Cape Cod and the South Shore. He calls them up in the morning and he says, you know, what do you got? He told this great story about finding the holy grail of fish. Okay, listen to this.
Mm-hmm.
The holy grail of New England fish is a cod that gets accidentally caught in a lobster pot and spends its entire life feeding on lobsters.
Oh, okay.
And people, somebody cat finds this, and you have this, like, ruby colored cod flesh that is, and he said it was the most amazing thing he'd ever eaten. So those guys, they cooked with squid. The Peruvian guy, Jose Duarte, made this wonderful ceviche. The sauce was tons of lime and cilantro and a Peruvian yellow pepper paste. And that he blanched squid and then tossed it in this beautiful green paste. That was a winner, I have to say. But Charles did a sear. He seared his squid in a hot, hot pan, so it got kind of charred and black, and he tossed it in a black olive tapenade that had saffron and some fresh herbs in it. I thought that was absolutely delicious, too. Opposed to the really fresh flavors of lime and cilantro, it got a little bit, it was defeated. But they would have been both winners.
Hmm. Wow. Well, it sounds incredible. And it's like discovering life on Mars. I mean, you know, the sacred cod. It's incredible.
Yeah, right?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I never heard that before. That's amazing.
Isn't that incredible?
So much
to learn from these seafood throwdowns.
Oh, absolutely. Well, from you. And I appreciate your passing that on. This is fascinating. And finally, Heather, one more time, what is it, Cape Ann Fresh Catch? Is that what we're looking for?
Cape Ann Fresh Catch is the absolute best way to get locally landed seafood in anywhere in the Boston area. They deliver to Lincoln, Lexington, Harvard Square, Gloucester, Beverly. Yeah, I mean, they have a huge number of sites where they deliver once a week locally landed fish.
Okay.
They'll have squid.
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
These great squid, yeah.
All right, and your amazing website.
My amazing website, thanks for that. HeatherAtwood.com, food for thought. And you can, you know, pretty soon you'll see great pictures of my squid tacos, okay?
Sounds great. All right, we'll talk next week. That is Heather Atwood with the story behind the recipe.
Welcome back to North Shore Today. As we continue along, I'm Bill Newell along with Rick Moore. And just ahead, we have Kevin Canty, the baseball coach at Bishop Fenwick High School. We'll check in with Kevin, and then we're back with some of the stories and results from yesterday and what to look forward to this weekend here on North Shore Today. Bishop Fenwick baseball coach Kevin Canty is with us. They're 11-6 right now, headed for the state tournament. And Kevin, tell us about this year's baseball season at Fenwick. What have been some of the highlights?
Yeah, I mean, so far we came in with a team that was relatively inexperienced. We graduated quite a few seniors last year. So coming into the season, I knew we had a lot of talent, but not a lot of experience. So I think that showed in the first couple games. We played a real tight game with Danvers to open our season, lost in extra innings. And then the second game of the year, played Austin Prep, and got beaten pretty good, unfortunately. But at that point, we kind of started to turn a corner where our younger guys, our inexperienced guys, started contributing a lot more. And we went on a roll, won 7 out of our next 8 games to kind of put us into a good position. And between the seniors, some of the seniors, as well as some of the younger guys contributing a lot, the team has really gelled, and it gelled faster than I was really expecting it to. So we've had some, I mean, other than 2 of our losses, which were pretty ugly, we've had 4 losses where it's been a one-run game. 3 of those were in extra innings. So we played a lot of tight games besides the games we've won. And I think that's helped to build a lot of character for us going forward.
You know, it's funny, Kevin, as you're talking, I'm thinking about this. And, of course, you know basketball very well, at the high school level and in college. And I'm thinking, like, in high school baseball around here, this is one sport where teams really do improve a lot from the start of the season to, say, right now in the season. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can put in fundamentals. You can put in the things that you want to teach and what you want to coach up. One of the biggest things we've worked on is staying inside the baseball, trying to drive balls to all fields, not just getting up there and trying to take hacks to hit balls over the left fielder's head. But a lot of our guys have really worked hard from the beginning of the season on driving balls the other way, driving balls into the power alleys, as opposed to just getting up there and being pull hitters. And I think it's definitely – a lot of guys have seen a lot of improvement from the beginning of the season to the point now. It's helped us in not striking out a lot. It's helped us in putting balls in play and getting base hits and hitting behind runners. So it's been a big thing that we've worked on, and we've started to see the benefits of it, especially after the first couple of games of the season.
Well, Kevin, if you could toss in a few names of a few players that are contributing to your team this year, who might just single out for us?
The 2 senior captains, J.P. Rowling has been our number one starter all year. I think he leads the North Shore in strikeouts. He has over 50 strikeouts as far as on his 7 starts during the year. He's been in command for us on the mound. Every time he gets the ball, we fully expect to win that game. Matt Townsend, our other senior captain, he's been a leader for us. He's been a varsity player. This is his 3rd year on the varsity team. He's definitely the player that a lot of our guys look to as far as how you should play the game the right way, sacrificing what you need to do, putting balls the other way, understanding what we try to do from a baseball standpoint. Other seniors like RJ Libby and Simon Gonzalez have contributed to us a lot offensively. They hit 2 and 4 for us. They've been a big run producers. And also, we've had a freshman come in Corey Bright, and he has been an outstanding contributor. He's contributed a lot more than I would have expected a freshman to. He came in and kind of cemented himself on the third base position and lead off, and as of right now, he's our leading hitter as far as average-wise goes. He's been hot the last about 2 weeks, and he's putting up 2, 3, 4 hit games almost every single time out. So that's been – I knew he was a good player. I knew he would probably contribute as a freshman. I didn't know how much. And he's contributing more as much as pretty much anybody else in the squad. So that's been a pleasant surprise to have.
Yeah. He's like your Jackie Bradley Jr., huh?
He really is. He leads off for us. But not only that, he hits for power. He hits doubles. And he's been one of the guys that has really worked and continues to work on staying inside the baseball. I think he has 6 hits in our last 2 games, all of which have been to right field, down the right field line, into the power alley and right center. And he's just been hitting a baseball on the nose every single time he's been up to the plate.
All right, Kevin, looking ahead, of course, you're headed to the state tournament eventually here, but what are some of the highlights on the schedule in, the next week here?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can question the difficulty of the schedule that we put together on a yearly basis. Besides our league, which is always top-notch, Austin Press, one of the top teams around as far as I'm concerned, as far as talent-wise, St. Mary's and everybody else in our league, we always play tough league games. But I set it up so our last 4 games of the season are Swampscott, Danvers, then we're in the Peabody tournament to end the season, playing Andover in the game 1, and then playing the winner slash loser of Peabody and Everett in the 2nd game of that tournament. So we've set ourselves up, besides our game on Saturday with Matt Young, we're not going to overlook them. But as far as our last 4 games, though, they're going to get us ready to play the tournament. I believe in playing a difficult schedule. I don't really schedule teams that I don't think we're gonna benefit from playing. So those last 4 games are going to be really what our tune-up is to get into to start the state tournament.
Well, you might end with 11 wins, Kevin.
Yeah. Oh, I understand. Trust me. I mean, I know what I'm up against. I'm not going to back down from teams. We're going to go out there. And we talk about it every single day of practice. We're as good as we want to be. There are days, unfortunately, like our game on Wednesday, where we had the prom the night before, not that we can use that as an excuse, but but we have to show up to perform every single day. We don't take anyone lightly. We don't take anybody. We don't take anything wins for granted. We show up to win baseball games, and that's the attitude I like to have us have. Because if we can't, and I like to say it, we can't just show up and beat teams. We have to show up and play to our ability level at all times. And so we're going to get a chance to show our what we're really made of these last four games.
Well, again, those last four games are incredible. I don't know about Andover this year, but I'm sure they're very very good this year.
They're good. They're good. They'll be Division One powerhouse up in the MVC. They're going to be good.
No, exactly. But I do know the other three: Peabody, Swampscott, and Danvers, and they've had very good seasons this year. It's not like you just pulled somebody out of the Northeastern Conference just to play a Northeastern Conference team. These guys are having great years. You're right.
Exactly. Yeah. Roger, Jason over at Swampscott, Coach Betts at Peabody. I came out of the Peabody system. I knew what I was getting into, and those are games our kids want to play in. They're games that really. Last year we went in and were lucky enough to win the Peabody tournament. Last year, some of the guys last year, that was one of our biggest accomplishments, was winning that tournament, going up and beating two Division I teams in a tournament at the end of the season. It was a great way to end our season. We want to go and be able to play anybody. It's getting us ready to play in the state tournament. My goal is always get in the tournament, and then we're just going to start getting to the point where we're ready to play game one and start to go on a roll. Because my goal every year, our goal is to win a state championship. That's the only thing you play for.
Yeah.
So we get into that point where now we got to get ready for it. And that's what these four games are designed to set up to get us ready to go.
Kevin, one last question for you. You're still reffing basketball, I take it?
I do still do basketball, yeah, but I do soccer as well.
Oh, I got you. Great. Well, hang on the line just for a second here. We've been talking with Kevin Canty. He's the baseball coach at Bishop Fenwick High School here on MSONewsSports.com. Continuing with North Shore Today Sports, I'm Bill Newell with Rick Moore. And, Rick, the Beverly boys lacrosse team won yesterday in Melrose by a goal, and they are undefeated at 18-0, and they will face an undefeated Reading team on Monday afternoon. I believe it's right at Beverly High School, that game, at 4:30. So that's a huge North Shore game. Also, a handful of baseball games today. We have some notes up on our sports post from scores. Maddie Ernst of Marblehead Softball pitched a no-hitter yesterday against Salem. Congratulations to her. Congratulations to the Swampscott boys lacrosse team. They won the South title yesterday. And the Lynn Classical girls, as we talked about with Bill Devon, the Classical Athletic Director, not a lot of urban schools in the past have done, have won tennis titles, but Classical won the NEC North title in girls tennis this year. So congratulations to them. And got a handful of baseball games today, but it looks like a great day today. And as we look into the weekend, Rick, we got some rain coming in. It looks like Saturday night and into Sunday. So enjoy Friday. Enjoy Saturday during the day.
Yeah, Gloucester softball's got a big game today, Bill. They play Lynn English. And that is the 3:45 game. That's a big one. Gloucester needs that win to make the state tournament. Girls lacrosse, Manchester Essex is playing Masconomet. And in tennis, Manchester Essex versus Hamilton Wenham. It's all today. And then tomorrow, Gloucester has another softball game. If they don't win today, they got to win tomorrow. And they play home against Salem tomorrow.
Gotcha. The Salem State baseball team lost in the NCAAs yesterday. We have the story up there, or at least the score up there on our sports post from, actually went up today, but from with the Thursday results. And I'm just looking to see if there's anything else that we should mention here. I guess not. I think I don't have anything more, I don't think, here. Unless I were to look and see. No, I don't have that. How about those Red Sox, though, huh?
Well, yeah, they're fun, and I still think they need some pitching, but they're fun. When did you talk? You talked to Andy this week. I haven't had a chance to listen to that, but I'm sure Andy was pretty upbeat, even though they lost two out of three out in Kansas City.
Hey, you're right. And one other thing too is, I don't think we've talked about it on this, but I went to last Saturday's game, and for a guy like me that goes to maybe one game a year, maybe one every other year or something like that. My brother got the tickets, and we went in, and what a game that was. That was the game where Ortiz hits the triple to tie the game in the ninth with two outs, hits the double to win the game in the 11th inning with two outs, and it was just a great Ortiz kind of game, one of those games that just classic David Ortiz, which makes you starts the discussion is should this guy retire or not, and so we'll see what happens with that. But it looks like he probably will retire. You know, Rick, what I was trying to get to, I was just looking at the baseball schedule. So up on our post, we do have a couple of games noted for today. The Gloucester at Danvers game tonight at 6:30 and the Salem at Beverly game this afternoon. But also, I'm looking at some games for tomorrow, and Beverly plays at Gloucester tomorrow night. Xaverian is at Peabody Saturday night in baseball. So those are just a couple of games, and Fenwick is at Matignon tomorrow afternoon, Saturday afternoon. So I think all those games, hopefully those Saturday night games, I think those are good to go with this rain. I think it comes in after midnight or most of it comes in after midnight. So hopefully those games are set to go. All right, that'll do it for North Shore Today with Rick Moore. And I'm Bill Newell. Special thanks to our guests, Kevin Canty, baseball coach at Bishop Fenwick, and Heather Atwood talking. What is she talking, Rick? She's talking I can't remember the name of the segment for the life.
Squid. Squid. She talks squid. Oh, it's the story behind the story behind the recipe.
And and it's squid. All right. Well, there you go.
Squid, and more squid.
Which you already know because you've already listened to the program. So that's it. With Rick Moore, I'm Bill Newell. This is North Shore Today on MSONewsSports.com. MSO Radio is where you can hear live play-by-play sports. Stay connected with North Shore newsmakers. Listen to exclusive sports interviews with coaches and players. North Shore News Radio. North Shore Sports Radio.